A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio, and it's powered by KSLSports.com. Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte here. Our position previews here on the program roll on. And this week, excited to break down the cornerback position. It has a lot of talent in that cornerback room. And joining us now is fifth-year cornerbacks coach, Gerald Guilford. Coach Guilford, thanks for joining us on the program.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Always happy to have you on board here, Coach. And how's the offseason treated you? We've been asking all the coaches how it's been, and a lot of, you know, talked about how it's been kind of business as usual, still probably busy as ever with college football being a 365-day-a-year job. But have you had chances to maybe tap into some hobbies, spend more time with family? How's it been for you away from football?
You know, a ton of family time, so that's always a good thing. Get a chance to kind of be with the kids a little bit on an everyday basis, just waking up to them, being with them throughout the day, helping them with schoolwork and stuff like that. So that's something different. And I was able to help the wife out. You know, she usually does it all day, every day. So I was able to give her a little bit of break. So it's always a good thing.
Coach Gerald Guilford's our guest here on KSL News Radio. And I'm going to start things off here, Coach, with breaking down the position group, the cornerbacks in 2020. Who's the next you? Because you're one of the all-time greats in BYU history at cornerback. Who's the next Gerald Guilford in this room?
Man, you know what, coaching-wise, you always want all of them to be better than you. You know, that's always the ultimate goal, man. But we have a few guys who I'm very, very high on. You know, of course, Chris. You know, he's going to be a senior, the lone senior in our entire group. You know, then we have D'Lo, we have a JC guy coming in, Jock, Isaiah, Keenan, Micah Harper, just to kind of touch on a few, and then we have a few guys who might also show up and surprise some people as well, you know. So just kind of got to wait and see on those guys to see if they'll be in my room or not.
I want to come back to Chris. You mentioned the lone senior. He's someone who I think, you know, everyone's been high on for a long time and just been battling injuries for so long. How's his health, and is he ready to go 100% this fall?
As far as I know, his health is good, and the goal is just to try to get him to the season healthy. That's his number one goal. I told him, you know, take it slow. And I know he's still doing things in order to make sure that he's on the right path. But our number one goal is to get him into the season healthy.
If Chris is healthy, you tell me, but it sounds like he's going to be a starter. Who do you anticipate will start opposite of him against Utah in week one?
You know what? Honestly, man, how my room have been has been run over the last 4 years. All my guys, they'll tell you it's week to week. You know, whoever kind of shows up, they're the ones that's going to play. But you know, I have five or six guys who can show up and really play, from Chris to Isaiah to D-Lo to Keenan. I got a JC guy coming in, Jock, a freshman that's very, very seasoned. He comes from a football background. His dad played corner for many, many years, played a little bit of pro ball. His claim to fame is picking off Ty Detmer 3 times, you know. So he comes from a cornerback family, and his dad has taught him the game the correct way. So he's going to be a guy that's going to come in with the knowledge, the IQ, and the understanding of the game. So it's going to be hard, man. It's going to be some competition, and we have a pretty deep group. But at the end of the day, time will tell.
I want to get more into that deep group with you, General, the player, specifically with some of these players. And let's start off with D'Angelo Mandel, who had a lot of starting experience last year and continues to progress in his career. Where do you see D'Lo continuing to improve in his game?
For him, just mentally. And he knows this. We talk about it almost every day. He needs to apply everything that he does in practice and apply it to the game. You know, there's been quite a few times where he can walk me straight through the play. He'll tell me from first, second, third, fourth thing that he needs to do. But then game reps come around, and you know, he'll just kind of forget a little bit, and that may be because of youth. You know, because I did have to throw him in the fire, you know, for the last 2 years, especially when Chris went down to in 18, he was just thrown in the fire, you know. So it was like having Troy, Dine, and Chris as a freshman all over again, because he was just thrown in the fire. He's working on those things every day, and he's the guy who loves to work. You know, he's not afraid to work, and that's always a great thing when a kid knows what he needs to do to get better, and he's actually working on it. So the sky's the limit for him, man. He can be as good as he wants to be as long as he's willing to put in the work and sacrifice a few things.
One of the guys you mentioned in that 5 or 6, Isaiah Heron, the sophomore from Nevada, recently he announced that he's coming back. What does Isaiah mean to the locker room, and what does he bring to the football field skill-wise?
You know, it's big on the locker room with him returning. You know, of course, being here for 2 years, you become brothers, family, you know. So when you lose a brother, it's always difficult, regardless of the reason. But he decided to come back, and I think everybody will benefit from that. It'll be some lessons learned from him coming back and being able to talk to people of his reasoning of why he was leaving, the reason he came back, and all that stuff. And I'm pretty sure he'll kind of touch the details about all that stuff. But as far as a football player, he's probably one of the most talented raw corners that I have in my room. He does have a very high ceiling because he is a natural corner with length, speed, not afraid to tackle. But that's another guy that we talk all the time about, him putting in the work. If he doesn't put in the work, he's not going to progress. You know, I tell him, I mean, we can be there every day as far as coaches, but you got to do some stuff behind closed doors that's going to push you to the next level. And that's something that he really wants. He wants to be the best. So I told him, you're going to have to really, really work and work on your own, as well as working with me and the strength staff and everything like that. But as far as just plan-wise, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field, especially if he works.
How do you replace a guy like Dion Gunawalu? He's going to be fighting to make the Rams here in a few weeks. But, man, he had such an impact on this program. How do you replace that, and how do you maybe carry on some of the things that he brought to your room for the last couple of years?
Man, let me say this. That's going to be – Dion is a replacement by committee. He's a natural football player that does so much, man. And we know as a staff, man, from playing – I'm talking about from playing running back, every special team, to start for me at corner for 2 years, to go to safety for his junior year, to come back with me for his senior year and start at safety and corner. He's just viable. And he was a four-year starter, so you just can't replace that just at the drop of a dime. It's going to be by committee, and guys are going to have to step up, and guys are going to have to sacrifice a few things, because Dion sacrificed a lot, you know, on and off the field, academics, everything. I mean, Dion was one of my best dudes I've ever coached, just as far as just the kind of person he is, you know. Comes from a good family, and I wish him nothing but the best, man, but he's going to be so hard to replace.
You mentioned a lot of the guys in the room, and one individual that has been, like Chris, has been battling injuries a lot is Keenan Ellis. How has he progressed in his recovery from injuries? Did he have the chance to compete much in the limited spring ball, and where is he at in terms of health and maybe opportunities to compete in fall?
You know, he's 100% healthy. You know, he battled some academic issues. He's back now, and the limited time that he played in the spring was awesome. He looked better than he ever looked before. He was fast. He showed ball skills. He was physical. I look forward to having him on the field. He's a guy who's very, very fluid, natural as far as turning his hips, stop and go, playing the ball, playing the deep ball. He's a guy that's not gonna go up and try to bat it down. He's gonna go up and really try to catch it. And that's what I love about Keenan, man. So he's gonna bring some great competition.
He's heading into his fifth year as BYU's cornerback coach. He's former BYU great General Guilford here on KSL News Radio. General, stay safe. We appreciate all the time, and good luck this season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Great stuff there from Gennaro. We're going to get to a break here. We're going to continue doing these position previews so long as the 2020 season is not canceled. So on the other side, we're going to break down the cornerback room and maybe give some predictions on dark horse candidates who could sneak in with some playing time this fall. We'll be back with more here on Cougar Sports Saturday after this. Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com. It's Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. Been a great show so far. If you've missed any of it, check out the podcast feed wherever you get podcasts. Dave McCann was on, Brett McMurphy, and just barely Gennaro Guilford. And we're still doing position previews, even though five games have been canceled. Three from the Pac-12 and two from the Big Ten. Doesn't mean the season is over yet. And even if, because Brett McMurphy alluded to, maybe this is the domino that affects all the conferences, that still doesn't mean that a season would be canceled for BYU. There's still a scenario, Dallin, in which BYU could maybe get some home and homes. And I know that's not ideal, but I still maintain this point, and nothing will change my mind if it's a bunch of home and homes. And if it's just UConn and Liberty every other week, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and you know, I think about it too, and I think about the players. You know, you think about a guy like Matt Bushman, Kyrus Tonga, guys who could have had a chance to go pro, came back, you know, for this final season, this great schedule. Now they're not going to get that, but they deserve to play something, right? They deserve to put some tape down and give themselves a shot. So any of those guys, yeah, I'm sure those players would love to play New Mexico State 8 times. If that's all they could get, they would do it. And so, you know, if it's a question of the whole season's canceled, then that's one thing. But if there's an opportunity to play, BYU will play some games, and that's why we want to continue to talk about these players.
Exactly. Mitch, from a 2-deep perspective, I kind of feel like this particular group, the cornerbacks, there's really not much to discuss, as that at least the first three, I think, are pretty dead set.
Yeah, I think that you're looking at Chris Wilcox is going to be a starter for BYU. He comes back for his redshirt senior season, and assuming that the season does play out, he's going to be one of the best cornerbacks BYU has this season. I think the other starter as of today would be D'Angelo Mandel, and I think one of the primary backups is Isaiah Heron, who comes back out of the transfer portal as a redshirt sophomore. Bright future ahead for Isaiah and his potential. And I think the fourth guy ends up being a true freshman. I think it's going to be Micah Harper. Now,
really? Over Jacques?
I think it's going to be Micah Harper because he's kind of in that Dion Gunwoloku build, that frame. I mean, even when he signed back in December out of Arizona, Kalani Sitake instantly drew comparisons to Dion Gunwoloku, and you know as well as anyone, Matt, and for listeners out there that maybe aren't as familiar with, you know, conversing with Kalani Sitake, he's not one to draw comparisons very often. He doesn't usually put the pressure on kids very much. But I thought it was notable that he said, out of the blue on his own, this might be the next Dion Gunwoloku. And it's like, okay. And then you watch the film and how Micah Harper plays, and ignore the fact that his Twitter handle seriously looks exactly like mine. I've been confused myself when I see the Micah _ Harper. I'm like, is that me tweeting that? I'm like, what? Did I just commit to BYU? But Micah, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go on a limb and say true freshman Micah Harper is going to crack that 2-deep for BYU when, in fact, if maybe, they end up playing this season.
I'll go with the JC cornerback, Jacques Wilson,
I like
as my choice breaking the 2-deep. All right, over-unders, Dallin?
Yeah, I've got some over-unders. You know, looking back at the independence era, this position group was interesting. It's dominated, much like the tight end, which was the last position, you know, dominated by one player, and that's Dion. And even from his freshman year, his first season in 2016, all the way through his last, he was kind of the one guy, the one consistent throughout. You had, you know, Michael Davis in 2016. That was his final season. You had guys kind of in between, but really, Dion was the number one guy. And I think that's the biggest question for me is now that you lose that, how do you replace that, right? So some of these over-unders, let's start here. We know that BYU had a ton of interceptions last year. A lot of those did come in the linebacker group, though not necessarily out on the edge with these corners. So over-under, a BYU cornerback gets 3 or more interceptions this season. Let's start with you, Mitch.
I'm going to say under. I'm just going to – I just feels like that's an under week. For whatever reason, we haven't seen many BYU guys get a lot of interceptions in the secondary. I'm going to go with under. I just don't see that playing itself where BYU gets an over. I'm going to go under.
I'm going to go push. I'm going to say Chris Wilcox gets 3. So
all right.
I just think that there is going to be a little scheme tweak, and so maybe there's an opportunity with that for the DBs to get a little more involved with breaking up passes and maybe getting some interceptions. Ironically, though, I think there has been a lot of opportunities in past years, Mitch, and they just don't catch the football.
That's true. That's a good point. And I think that, you know, last year a lot of linebackers had interceptions. And but, yeah, some of these cornerbacks, when they get that paw on the ball, they got to make sure to catch that thing. But maybe it's a reason why they're at cornerback.
That sounds like a Lee Corso comment from NCAA football.
You knew exactly the reference. Yes. Good job, Matt.
Here's another Lee Corso one. If that was a hamburger, they would have caught it.
Oh, my gosh. What was that, NCAA 2003 or something?
Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's why they're playing defense.
And then Brad Nessler's introducing the Lavelle Edwards Stadium, one of the most scenic stadiums in college football. I can't remember the exact wording, but,
man,
bring us back the NCAA football video game. Someone, please.
Listen, if there was ever a group of advocates for that, it's this show.
Totally.
I think it's like
no
day
doubt
one.
About it.
Hey, proud owner of a 32-year dynasty in NCAA 2004. Thank you very much.
Hey, one question for you, though. When you would start a dynasty, would you would you be the coach, or would you put in the current BYU coach as that dynasty?
I would put in the current BYU coach. Right. I'm always that weirdo that just wants the realest thing possible. Like, I never really create myself. I just create some like young, you know, like hot shot 5-star recruit, and then import him into the game rather than create me, because I'm like, I'm not an athlete. I'm not gifted enough. Like, maybe when I was 16 and 17, I was halfway decent, but now I'm nowhere near an athlete. So that's not going to be living in the fictional land.
So let's another over under here. One thing that sticks out over the last couple of years was the consistency, like I said, of Dion, how much he played. So the question for you guys that I have is, what are over under BYU has at least one cornerback who starts every game this season, Matt? What do you think?
I'm going to go over, and I think it's going to be Chris Wilcox again. I think he's healthy, but also the number of games might be reduced. So if it's only 8 or 10 games, then I think there's a greater chance that the players stay healthy and play all the games. So I'm going over.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and I think that I think Chris Wilcox, and I also think D'Angelo Mandel, with limited number of spring practices, with limited opportunities in this offseason, it's just been really difficult. So you're going to go with guys that have the most experience more than ever before, and that's going to be Chris Wilcox, D'Angelo Mandel. So I'm going to say over, and I think those two guys, if healthy, they will start every game this year.
Real quick, a dark horse candidate from you guys, somebody who you think might kind of get some more playing time than expected, Matt?
Shamon Willis for me. Played in 11 games last year, started 2, son of Jamal Willis, great running back. I think he's a dependable guy who will see playing time.
I'm going to go with redshirt junior Keenan Ellis. Now, he's been a guy that's been kind of forgotten about because of injuries, and he had some academic issues, as you heard in that interview with Jarnell Guilford. But he's back in the program, heading into his redshirt junior year. I think he's going to be someone that's competing, and he'll be maybe that number 5 cornerback to me. But he'll be in the mix. He'll be competing for playing time. It's kind of one of those make-or-break years when you're talking about a guy that hasn't had much production up until their junior year. It's time to put up, or else you might never see the field in your career at BYU. So I think this is an important season for Keenan Ellis if the season gets played. So I would say he's my sleeper to watch this year in the cornerback room.
All right, we'll take a break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. On the other side, we'll get back to our Cougar Sports Saturday poll of the day. What is the most likely outcome for the upcoming football season? And you can text in as well. We've been reading text all day, 57500. Back with more after news, traffic, and weather.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.